That was intentional. Does everybody recognize the sound? It's not the full theme, but it's basically the opening for Law and Order. It's the opening for Law and Order, a show that went on for 20 years. It still has an iteration going on right now. There's another one that just started. So I'm taking liberty with Dick Wolf's franchise to where I'm going to talk about life and order and Torah. So, yes, there's law and order, but there's also life and order that's found in Torah. So there's life and order found in the law, so to speak. So there are many aspects associated with life that are afforded us in Torah. Since before summer began, thus our proclamation that the summer of 2021 is the summer of life, I have shared with you so far that Torah affords us liberty through life. The Torah is the foundation of faith for our lives, and that through obedience to Torah that is rightly divided and rightly understood brings life for us in this world and offers us a window to the kingdom of Adonai. Summer's long. Keeping in mind, can you imagine that it's summer, we're in July, and both doors are actually closed? Life and Torah are intricately connected in that Torah promotes life, while life in its fullest possible realization is a product of doing what Torah says. Adonai reveals such promises to Israel for whom he has given his Torah. In Leviticus 18, after the aspects of Yom Kippur were given, Adonai says, "Speak to the people of Israel. Tell them, I am Adonai your God. You are not to engage in the activities found in the land of Egypt, where you used to live. And you are not to engage in the activities found in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Nor are you to live by their laws. You are to obey my rulings and laws and live accordingly. I am Adonai your God. You are to observe my laws and rulings. If a person does them, he will have life through them. I am Adonai." So Adonai reveals a way of living that is different than what they experienced in Egypt, where they were, and is to be different in Canaan, where they are headed and will reside. Each society, each culture, had a way of living, yet Adonai conveys something rather profound here. It was not where they lived, nor where they were about to live, that brought forth this life, promoted this expansion of life, but a promise made long ago where Adonai affirmed his covenant with Abraham, where in Genesis 17:2 he says, "I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will increase your numbers greatly." So it wasn't all the pristine aspects of Egypt. It wasn't the fertile soil where they grew all their produce. But it was a promise. It was Adonai who promised to increase the number of Abraham's descendants greatly. In Exodus 1, the descendants of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied and grew very powerful. The land became filled with them. It was the giver of life who caused Abraham's descendants to increase in number. Thus, it wasn't a healthy lifestyle or anything that occurred in Egypt that promoted life. It was quite the contrary. Egypt's intent was to squelch life, specifically the life of Israel. For we read in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1 of Exodus, "But Pharaoh said, 'Look, the descendants of Israel have become a people too numerous and powerful for us. Come, let's use wisdom in dealing with them. Otherwise, they'll continue to multiply, and in the event of war, they might ally themselves with our enemies, fight against us, and leave the land altogether.' They were a threat in many ways. Free labor would be gone. The increase in number, this increase in life, frightened the Egyptians, who would continually plot to suppress an increase in the numbers of Israel, whom they viewed as a threat. In verse 11, so they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built for Pharaoh the storage cities of Betom and Ramses. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded until the Egyptians came to dread the people of Israel. If you want to annoy or irritate somebody else, grow. They worked them relentlessly, making their lives bitter with hard labor, digging clay, making bricks, all kinds of field work. And in all this toil, were shown no mercy. Normally, this would break the backs of individuals. We saw aspects like this as a result of the concentration camps during World War II. They worked them, they didn't feed them. They suppressed them. Many died before they even hit the gas chambers. The harder life was for them, the more life was produced. The leaders of Egypt even schemed to murder male children in order to suppress Israel's growing numbers. Verse 22, then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born, throw in the river, but let all the girls live. Thus life in the manner by which Adonai views it is not based on culture, but based on covenant. We are celebrating our nation's declaration of independence from the British Empire. George III was really no different than Pharaoh, who would oppress the liberties of the 13 colonies, viewed them as a territory of the crown, a property of the crown. They were under the authority of the king, and thus whatever the king commanded was to be done. The only rights afforded the colonies were the rights allowed by the king. Even after the Magna Carta of 1215, the rights of the colonies were few in the eyes of the kingdom. They, in essence, had no voice, and thus were merely property, a possession. The rights of Israel under Pharaoh, king of Egypt, were also few. They, too, could be viewed as property of a king. We tend to frame life in terms of lifestyle, the manner by which we live. Thus, there are competing lifestyles. Simply put, there is a lifestyle by which man or society dictates, and there is a lifestyle by which Adonai reveals. Keep in mind that even the lifestyle by which man establishes has its origin in the biblically based lifestyle Adonai has revealed. Yet it is selective and not total. Though not fully embracing all of which Adonai has revealed, some of the major aspects are shared by man's or cultures that are dependent upon the country that they reside in. Order is established through the laws of a nation, yet not all nations are to be viewed as being equal in their ways. In many nations, murder is viewed as a crime, and thus outlawed. Yet the means by which it is viewed is subjective. Not all life is created equal, but is considered to be transactional and thus evaluated as a cost to other life. Whether in the world or in the womb, life is determined to be of value or not by Adonai's created, not the creator. In our country's past, we valued life by the color of one's skin and not by the contents of one's character. Other nations value one's life based on their identity. Thus, when you look at the population of the Uyghur Muslims who reside in China, citizens of the nation, they are considered to be one of the 55 officially recognized ethnic minorities. They are not afforded the same rights. Yet because of their identity, many are repressed, that is, subdued by force, and oppressed, kept in subversiveness and hardship through what are identified as re-education programs. In contrast, Adonai does not place condition nor terms upon justifying that which he identifies as being murder. It is not based on who you are, but what you have done. Do not murder. It's that simple. A very specific statement, yet in its simplicity, does not attempt to justify or establish parameters by which murder is acceptable or justified. The taking of life for other than what would be considered a capital offense against Adonai is not permitted. The author of life has established order pertaining to life, for he has done so according to who he is and what he says about himself. For he says that God is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, showing grace to the thousandth generation, forgiving offenses, crimes, and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effect of the parents' offenses to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, and even to the third and fourth generation. He reveals through the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways," says Adonai. Thus Adonai establishes an order that he has placed upon the nation of Israel, and an order by which other nations have adopted, yet selectively. Our nation has adopted many of the ways of Adonai with the intent of establishing an order for this nation. That which is lawlessness lacks order. Thus, a nation without laws is a nation that will perish. A nation cannot exist without order, just as it cannot exist without borders. Adonai establishes an order by which the people of the covenant are empowered to live. His ways are intended to establish an order by which the people can live. In a manner, it is like self-governing, in that his laws are to be followed by the people while being enforced by the people. There is a manner by which people are brought before the leadership of the nation, and thus the case is to be heard. Eyewitness testimony is to be the foundation by which any crime against the ways of Adonai is to be established. His ways identify transgression directed towards himself, such as idolatry in Exodus 20, where he says, "I am Adonai your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. You are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image of any kind of representation of anything in the heavens above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them, for I, Adonai, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot." We talked about obedience last week. And that transgression towards his creation, such as murder, is also provided with a foundational aspect to where the people, in essence, legislate God's laws. In Deuteronomy 17, starting in verse 6, the death sentence is to be carried out only if there was testimony from two or three witnesses. He may not be sentenced to death on the testimony of only one witness. The witnesses are to be the first to stone him. Afterwards, all the people are to stone him. Thus you will put an end to the wickedness among the people. What is this? The people actually enacting the punishment. It's supposed to be a deterrence. And then we have Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness alone will not be sufficient to convict a person of any offense or sin of any kind. The matter will be established only if there are two or three witnesses testifying against him. And yet Adonai even establishes a guide for false witnesses. If a malicious witness comes forward and gives false testimony against someone, then both the men involved in the controversy are to stand before Adonai, before the Kohanim and the judges in office at the time. The judges are to investigate carefully. If they find that the witness is lying and had given false testimony against his brother, you are to do to him what he intended to do to his brother. In this way, you will put an end to such wickedness among you. Those who remain will hear about it, be afraid, and no longer commit such wickedness among you. Again, another deterrence. Because we're going to see in a few minutes that Yeshua, in essence, is conveying exactly what Adonai has shared here. Thus, within order, Adonai establishes deterrence, whereby a means to counteract future actions and practices. Order through Torah establishes boundaries for a people and a nation that is enabled to live according to Adonai's ways and opportunity to prosper in that lifestyle. He affords every means possible for success. Yet success requires listening and obeying, for which I shared with you last week. In Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you listen closely to what Adonai your God says, observing and obeying all his mitzvot, which I am giving you today, Adonai your God will raise you high above all the nations of the earth, and all the following blessings will be yours in abundance if you will do what Adonai your God says. This is Deuteronomy 28. If you want to know what those blessings are, we're going to study them in several weeks, but they start in verse 3. Then I've shared these verses with you several times. Look, I am presenting you today with, on the one hand, life and good, and on the other hand, death and evil, in that I am ordering you today to love Adonai your God, to follow his ways, and obey his mitzvot, regulations, and rulings. For if you do, you will live and increase your numbers, and Adonai your God will bless you in the land you are entering in order to take possession of it. Yeshua not only affirms all that Adonai establishes when he says this, don't think that I've come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from my Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened. So whoever disobeys the least of these mitzvot and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever obeys them and so teaches will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not only does he affirm, but he exemplifies it in word and deed. For Yeshua writes this, not writes, but speaks this as well. You have heard that our fathers were told, do not murder, and that anyone who commits murder will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who nurses anger against his brother will be subject to judgment. That whoever calls his brother, you good for nothing, will be brought before the Sanhedrin. That whoever says fool incurs the penalty of burning in the fire of Gehenna. Not only does Yeshua affirm Adonai's mitzvah here, but goes a step further to identify the catalyst residing within an individual that would lead to the action. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that our fathers were told, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to stand up against someone who does you wrong. On the contrary, if someone hits you on the right cheek, let them hit you on the left cheek too. You have heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Then you will become children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun, S-U-N, shine on good and bad people alike. And he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. What reward do you get if you love those who love you? Why, even the tax collectors do that. And if you are friendly only to your friends, are you doing anything out of the ordinary? Even goyim do that. His words, not mine. Therefore, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. And I talked about this word perfect before. It does not mean perfect as it is translated here, but it's to be complete, to be full, to be like Him. We are not to just be citizens of the world, but we are citizens of the kingdom. An order that defies the rationality of the world. It is the foundation of the kingdom. Order is established by Adonai through Torah, whether it is the order of the universe, which is revealed to us in Genesis 1, or the order of the nation, which we have seen how God has established His order to the nation of Israel. Thus, where there is order, there is life. And I'm going to close with Isaiah 55, one verse I had used earlier, but I want to provide you the context of this entire chapter. Isaiah 55, all of you who are thirsty, come to the water. You without money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money. It's free. Try doing that in the store and you'll likely get a funny look. Yet you go to the store in the kingdom and you will not get a funny look. You will basically, so we'll take here, take more. Why spend money for what isn't food? Your wages for what doesn't satisfy. Listen carefully to me and you will eat well. You will enjoy the fat of the land. Open your ears and come to me. Listen well and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The grace I assured David. Everything I've shared with you now to this point is being summarized in this one passage of Isaiah. I have given him as a witness to the peoples, a leader and lawgiver for the peoples. You will summon a nation you do not know, and a nation that doesn't know you will run to you. For the sake of Adonai your God, the Holy One of Israel, who will glorify you. Seek Adonai while He is available. Call on Him while He is still nearby. Let the wicked person abandon his way, and the evil person his thoughts. Let him return to Adonai, and He will have mercy on him. Let him return to our God, and He will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Adonai. As high as the sky is above the earth, are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from the sky and do not return there, but water the earth, causing it to bud and produce, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me unfulfilled, but it will accomplish what I intend and cause to succeed what I sent it to do. Yes, you will go out with joy. You will be led forth in peace. As you come, the mountains and hills will burst out into song, and all the trees in the countryside will clap their hands. Cypresses will grow in place of thorns. Myrtles will grow instead of briars. This will bring fame to Adonai as an eternal, imperishable sign. So here you have a promise afforded the nation of Israel. Yet the very precepts are available through the new covenant, through Yeshua, who affirms every aspect that I've shared with you so far. I don't know what next week's sermon is going to be, but know this, that He has given you everything. He has made everything available to you. Thus you have it in your midst, you have it in your grasp. Yeshua has even empowered you. He's amped you up, so to speak. He's given you a power source unlike anything other than the nation of Israel had experienced at this time. It's by the Ruach HaKodesh that you are truly empowered. For it is God who opened your eyes. But it is your heart that has to be transformed. So keep these things in mind, that where there is life, there is order. And where there is life and order, there is Torah, because there is only one life giver. And if the life giver provides order, then what does that tell us? That there is more to it. So keep these things in mind. Take them with you. Apply them to your life. And see what God will do. Because I don't believe there is anything beyond what we have the possibility of doing according to His Word where we won't succeed. Try the impossible. What might the impossible be? Talking to a family member. What might the impossible be? Living by one of His mitzvot that you may not have considered. Well, it's given for Israel. It's like, okay, yeah, that's true. See what God does when you do it as well. So keep these things in mind. Keep all these things in mind. So if everybody will please rise.